Welcome into DC On Screen. This is episode 282. I am your host, David C. Robertson. This, my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
Today we're going to get super spoilery on Legends of Tomorrow 208, the Chicago way. This is the mid-season finale. To recap, the Legion of Doom are up to no good, as Eobard Thawne, Damian Dark, and Malcolm Merlyn take to the Prohibition-era streets of Chicago and recruit a budding Al Capone for their scheme. Being the resident historian, Nate tries to impersonate Elliot Ness and shut down Capone, but the Legion manages to capture Stein and Sarah instead. Mick takes over mission planning for a bit and manages to get Sarah and Stein back, except that Stein is actually a disguised Thawne who begins ravaging the ship in search of the amulet. He finds it and nearly kills Sarah, but she is saved by some alarm on his fancy watch. After reluctantly telling Sarah that he has created an aberration named Lily, which is his daughter, Sarah trades the amulet for the real Stein and even absolves him of his guilt for not wanting to kill his daughter. Amaya gives Mick a present that she stole just for him, which Mick clearly loves. Too bad he has to justify it to his old friend Snart, who has been appearing in visions recently. The Legion has their map and is out to find the Spear of Destiny, and Rip Hunter may have found his calling as a sleazy American action director in the late 70s. I thought it was 1969, actually.
Was it 1969? Okay.
It was 1969.
I forgot the date and I didn't jot it down. I was trying to remember. But he's
actually, I wrote down 1967, so.
Oh, I remember the seven then.
Right. Yeah.
So he's directing a movie about him, I guess?
I guess so, man.
I saw that was somebody on the internet pointing out that that Booster Gold would be very proud. It's a fine point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was Entertainment Weekly, whoever wrote the recap for them.
Wow. I like Damien Dark's, whoever it was said, it's more like Christmas. And then Damien Dark goes, yeah, it's more like, yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Right out of the gate, I want to say the actor playing Al Capone is terrible.
Yeah.
Like patently awful, like really, really bad.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody grabbed Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World and put a scar on his face and told him he was Al Capone. It's bad.
What the actual acting reminded me of was like we did in high school we did two things. We did like Guys and Dolls, which had a little bit of that in it, and then we did this this Prohibition era reproduction of a Midsummer Night's Dream with accents that sounded about as good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my high school years. That's when I've seen that performance. It's not good.
Yeah. Now, was that? Am I crazy or did they? The way I thought it went down was Nate asking Ray if he had never seen, have you or have you not seen The Untouchables? Because Ray didn't realize that cops were corrupt in this timeline.
Yeah.
Or in this year.
No, he uses that as a point of reference to, at the fact that later he says, like, a guy who gets his history from movies?
Yeah, he says, we're in this mess because you get your history from movies or whatever. And I was like,
wait a second.
Because I was like, no, you said he hadn't seen The Untouchables.
Yeah.
And then they do it. Then for the rest of the episode, it's just Ray doing stuff that he's seen from movies. And I'm like, but it was the opposite. Like, that
did
you
we
did
edit that first scene completely?
Jeez.
I hadn't even caught it, but I believe you are right. That is weird.
I also wrote here that, and again, I did look up to make sure I was right as far as in real life, but did they say that Elliot Ness was part of the FBI? Because he was the U.S. Treasury.
I don't remember what department they said. I do remember Ray saying that he looks more like a G-Man than anyone here, but he didn't say T-Man, which I have actually, in some old books that I like to read, I've actually heard Treasury people referred to as T-Man.
Mm-hmm. I thought they said in the episode that he was FBI, which is my issue, but...
In this show where we have, like, someone's superpowers, history and knowledge, we managed to get that wrong. The guy knew, like, what numbered dock Al Capone preferred for dumping bodies, but couldn't remember what department Elliot Ness came from. I'm not sure. I did not look up where Elliot Ness came from, man.
I thought that he was
I'd forgotten
US
the
treasury.
Name existed until they mentioned that. I was like, oh, yeah, that was the guy I've read about.
Mm-hmm.
If you had asked me on the spot, free recall, hey, who's the guy that took Al Capone down? I'd be like, tax evasion. That's all I got, man.
I did enjoy the bit at the end. They were like, well, if we did it now, if we just turned all this evidence in now, why did it take them four more years?
It's the federal government.
The federal government.
That was solid.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
And I saw you talking to Matthew Ryan Cronin about this. I didn't join the conversation. You'd kind of wrapped it up, I suppose. But you said something that I agreed with. Well, both of you did. A, Matthew, I agree the show's not nearly as bad as Dave thinks it is. B, Dave, I agree with you. For some reason, when she turned into the dolphin, you hear that, I laughed. It wasn't supposed to
that
laugh.
That shit was funny.
But I laughed, yeah. That it was funny. I don't know why.
Yeah, we had a lengthy conversation. Matthew Ryan Cronin, one of our friends and listeners, thinks Vixen is stupid because whenever she like turns into like she summons the strength of like a rhino or an elephant or whatever, she like just hits the guy and they just fall over.
It's weird, like when they don't even show her when she summons the really powerful ones. It's like when she's a gorilla, mm-hmm. she punches really hard or something. But when she pulls out like elephant the other day and. You don't even really get to see what she does as it. It's just everyone falls down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which I would counter is as stupid as the fact that Firestorm is essentially a god.
Yeah.
And apparently has very little power in any given fight other than sneering.
Yeah. And fireballs. And, you know. I mean, dude, you can explode the oxygen and air into fire. Like, make shit happen, man. You can literally transmute elements. I don't know. Thing is, though, like, we've talked about this before. If they really used everything he could do, the show would have no point. They would just, like...
I don't think the show terribly has a point anyway, but that's me.
Well, the show has a heart, at least. It's Mick.
Yeah.
I will tune into the show every single week to see what Mick is doing, and I will do it happily.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mick was fun. We do this my way, like a criminal.
Yeah. Mm. Oh.
It's...
Hmm? Even better than that, Nate, it was like, Mick, you beautiful genius. That's it. About time someone noticed.
Yeah,
just lovely.
I like that Mick is kind of going nuts.
I
talking to Snart in his head.
Something that kept occurring to me though is that like it's a private conversation, but Thawne is fast enough that he could just be like pulling Snart in and out of these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of thinking maybe that's what's happening is he's literally like grabbing him, putting him in front of Mick, getting out of the way, taking him out with her. But the only thing that derailed my little budding thought was like at the end, I think the situation's pretty well wrapped up. They're somewhere else entirely, and he still sees Snart after she gives him that bottle of speakeasy liquor, which was, by the way, a great gift for a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really loving her and Mick this season.
Yeah, they're fun.
But again, back to the heart, though, like, he says, Snart, whatever Snart is, says, like, that speedster could have killed you, Mick, what then? And he says, I'd be dead like you. And, like, the way he says it, I don't know if he means, like, I miss my friend Snart and I'd rather be dead sometimes than not have him around, or if he means, like, I would have died a hero like you did.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just a lot in his delivery.
Sacrificing yourself isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Look at me.
I miss Snart's kind of awful, kind of amazing delivery.
I loved it.
I like Wentworth Miller a lot as far as acting goes, but I kind of think he's awful, if that makes any sense.
No, he's perfect. Don't change a thing.
No, I don't want him to change anything.
Yeah.
But he's kind of awful.
All right, well, how does he put it earlier? Like, doing the right thing gets you killed. I should know.
Yeah.
Oh, I did another good Mick line. Like, she's just a friend. The only friend I have since my last friend blew himself up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, am I nuts? Or do you remember Merlin having arranged to blow up the Queen's Gambit? Was that a thing from Arrow?
I was going to ask you, frankly, because I wrote it down. Like, I think that may be a reveal, but I don't know. Come on, let's crowdsource this. Someone tell us if that's something we've forgotten about from, like, season one.
Scott, Brent, I'm looking at you guys.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, it was new to me, or at least new to my memory.
Mm-hmm. I like that Merlin joined with the Legion for a clean slate, and that's basically what he's trying to get Sarah to do.
Yeah. I even like that he came in Merlin, and said, my friends don't think this conversation is worth having, but I'm going to try anyway.
I also think Merlin may have just joined the Legion of Doom so he could go to the 1920s and act cornball as hell.
Absolutely.
That's...
Just so he could wear pinstripes.
He's just, man, he's bad.
Yeah, it was what he's doing. Terrible. It was just terrible. Yeah, I did like the clean slates thing, though. That was it was a good pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I Sarah and Stein's little conversation, not bad. I thought it was a little heavy handed that like Sarah or Stein was Sarah's teacher as far as like, we can't change time. I will grant her that he's been the one most often remembering that they can't change time, but they've all fucked up like at various times. Mm-hmm. And there's something going on with him that I've got. It's a prediction, I guess. He says like, if Lily's impact is small enough, she can go undetected. Okay, to me, that means that she's absolutely going to do something that's not small enough to go undetected. Like, she's going to fuck something up huge, and he's going to have to go back and, like, time kill his daughter.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I was actually pretty excited about that. There's a bit where Thawne is fighting Vixen, and he grabs her, and he's about to do, like, the little vibrate-y hand through her chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs out of time, so he runs away, and he doesn't kill her. I'm like, dude,
lucky girl.
First of all, do you not know how to kill anyone differently than that? Because that's like they've done that like 3 or 4 times now, where they've done like the little shaky hand. I'm we get it.
That actually
you did that
makes
with Cisco
sense.
And the Flash.
To me, that makes absolutely perfect sense, though. Like when you look at actual murderers, they do have preferences.
Okay,
so
that's
I can
fine.
Deal with that.
That's fine, but I'm like, you don't know how to snap a neck?
Oh, he does. He I forget what scene it was, but he's done that before.
Okay, so it makes even less sense that he would be like, well, I'm out of time. You're a speedster. You're faster than Barry sometimes. Snap her neck, man.
Yeah. Now, the thing about the little apple...
And take her amulet, because when you take her amulet, you'll have the powers of Vixen, but with speed.
Right.
Just because you're super fast means you don't want an amulet? A magical amulet that makes you, like,
you could be an elephant running at nearly the speed of light. What the hell, man?
I mean, yeah, right? And then we'll really, Matthew Ryan Cronin will really have some problems.
Oh God, yes he will. I really do think like, whatever was on that watch, it was important. Whatever it was that stopped him is something we're going to need to know about. And it seemed like he almost ran out of time. It seemed like he needed to get out of that time at a certain time.
Yeah. Did he actually, was it really a time that he ran out of, or was it like a watch that tell him like, don't kill her?
That's the other possibility. Is it something that kind of puts up like, whoa. Maybe it's like a wraith alert. Like, if you do this, it's gonna fuck with time too much. The wraiths are going to come get you, you know.
Ooh, a wraith alert. I like that.
But maybe it is something that's just, he already knows how long he can be in a certain place without affecting the timeline too much, and he literally ran out of seconds.
Like
he's just got a reminder on his phone, hey, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I look forward to an answer.
Mm-hmm. It just feels like it's something... They mentioned 1947 in there somewhere. Like, I'm pretty sure that's where wasn't that where the JSA was when we met him? 47?
I think so. Maybe.
It just seemed like he affected something in 1947 if he stayed in that timeline too long. I don't know what it was. Again, we're going to wait for answers, I guess, for a little while.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of just completely bored with the concept of Rip being a movie director. Like, I just don't care.
You've had like 4
I mean, it's
seconds
kind of funny.
With it.
I know.
All I care about is that he's got an American accent, and I want to know what he's up to. Which, by the way, great American accent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I
know. I don't mean to be so hard on the show. It's just that it's not doing well.
Well, that's a reason to be supportive. Don't join the clamor.
No. I don't mean it's not doing well ratings-wise. I mean, it's just not a good show right now.
Mm.
I
disagree.
It's
like,
not
it's the last
capturing
couple episodes,
my imagination the way it should.
I know, but like... The last couple episodes, which I know include a giant crossover that's super cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that bad, man.
It's not that bad, but it's not good either.
It's not great. But I'm sure not hating on it. And they still keep doing it. Like, the thing I like about Legends is they can do these deep pulls, like Spear of Destiny, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That was cool. I mean, we're talking about, an item that was used against the Spectre in the comics.
Yeah, which, by the way, it's possible that all ties in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the Arrowness and whatnot.
You think?
Yeah, people are speculating. Arrow's got that episode Spectre of the Gun on the horizon.
And, by the way, the Question did use the Spear of Destiny to resurrect Spectre's human host.
Perfect. The reason everyone got so excited about the word Spectre was, it's the word Spectre, first of all. But we've already had a Corrigan show up in what is apparently still part of Arrow's universe. Like, Constantine is now apparently part of the Berlantiverse. In theory, there was no mention of having to go to Earth 2 or some shit to get over. John Constantine and Jim Corrigan are an Earth 1 counterpart somewhere. So, I mean, it would delight me to no end to hear that actor's been cast for something special in that episode. But even if he hasn't, like, the Spectre can change, hosts. So,
yeah.
We could still have it. Jim Corrigan may have been it for a while and somebody else. Could just be that we know secretly Corrigan was going to be Spectre at some point, but he's going to show up on Arrow anyway. But. No. Point is, now that we've seen Spirit of Destiny, we're still in the same universe with the Spectre. It was hard for hard for people not to notice that could be a thing. Oh, you want to hear a really stupid line that I loved more than I should have?
What's that?
I forget who it is. It's like, I didn't write down who actually who prompted the line, but somebody comes in and tells Nate and Ray's like, somebody's in the office killing so and so with the blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And Ray comes back with a rope or a candlestick. Just a little Clue reference. I wish I'd written down the line before it, because it's completely I've forgotten it. But I don't know, the little rope, like this little smirk he has when he asks, it made me laugh.
Yeah, that was fun. I did laugh at that. I don't hate Legends of Tomorrow. I think it's wasting a lot of its potential.
Yeah, I agree on that. But I do mostly enjoy myself, so I don't find myself hating on it nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
And a little throwaway line that, I mean, I don't think it's a throwaway, I guess. Nate asks Gideon, you know, why haven't you can repair brain damage, why haven't you helped Rory out? And Gideon responds, who says I haven't? Yeah. But then it's like a scene later, you start seeing snart everywhere.
Yeah, that was, that may have been telling. You think someone's gotten to Gideon?
I doubt it. It started me wondering, like, maybe that was part of Rory's, transformation into accepting the idea that he might actually even enjoy doing some good. Was maybe she did correct the psychopathic little misconnection in his brain. And there's evidence for that. There's some neurological evidence for psychopathy being an actual, like, brain disorder, not, you know, personality disorder.
Sure. There's also a precedent for Gideon perhaps betraying them in some way.
Still possible.
You look at, Eobard's been on the Wave Rider.
You know, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but wasn't Gideon the voice in Barry's little room?
Yep, it sure was.
That said, so is it still the same Gideon that, like, Barry Allen created so long ago that we're playing with now?
It would be the same Gideon, even though the actress was originally Marina Baccarin, and it's not anymore. But
I hadn't even thought about that in a long time, but it's still, like, Barry Allen
created it, but Eobard Thawne definitely could go in there and get Gideon to do something. He could change. He would know stuff about Gideon. He's from that time.
He was on that ship long enough that, you know, he could have caused some real damage that we may just be figuring it out as we go. No doubt about that.
He could have something beamed right into Mick's head. He could have Gideon do something to Mick's brain. Who knows?
Maybe they've decided that they can use the image of Snart to recruit him to the Legion of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like he's doing a great job recruiting him so far. He's just kind of being a little bit, you know, snarky.
Mm-hmm. Or a little bit snarty.
Yeah. And Mick seems to be, like, rebutting him pretty well.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I don't know what it was about this. Stein and Jefferson's conversations the last couple of episodes about Stein talking to his past self. He says this time he's talking to him about, like, hey, you know, pay more attention to, I forget her name, Clarissa, and less attention to putting on a condom. And they're just being very graphic, because I remember the previous episodes, like, and he took your advice all the way to Pound Town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Just seemed unduly graphic for a show that's really never mentioned much about sexual activity. Then suddenly we're like, no condoms, Pound Town. This is how babies are made.
Just waiting for Jax to make some crack about raw dogging it.
I think they'll spare us that. Oh, my biggest complaint of the show.
Yeah?
Dude, when you have something like a gun that, like, depowers a speedster, never stop firing that gun.
Right?
Never, ever keep your finger off the trigger. Just right there the whole time.
I was thinking about it like video game mode, where I was just like, no, just keep just hitting the trigger. Keep doing it.
R2, man. R2.
Do what I did in Duck Hunt. Just click, 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 right? Click, 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 click. Of course, that never worked for me.
No,
you
saw the sad dog a lot, probably.
Yeah, I did.
No, seriously, like, the note I have written down at some point, because after Jax does it, and then Vixen does it, I'm like, the note I just wrote down, keep shooting Thawn, exclamation part. GD, people, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
That was all I had, though. That was probably all I had. It gave me enough to chew on. I mean, it's not going to really distract me from chewing on Flash and Arrow, probably too much, but it's enough to get me back for a few weeks.
Yeah, Flash gave me enough. Arrow was a nice little portion. Legends, whatever. I don't...
Right.
I hate it. I hate feeling it. I don't think it was a terrible episode. Al Capone did not do it any favors. I'm telling you that much. Oh, my goodness.
I agree. Bad. I only liked his line about, it wasn't even his delivery. I just liked the line about, like, yeah, we got some nice cement galoshes. They're in style. Okay.
Ugh.
Okay, that's fine 1920s gang banter, but... And you know the sad part is it felt like something I would say. Like, if I was actually back in the day, like a gangster, I'd be like, yeah, these are in style now. You're going to love them. Strap them on, kids. Let's see how. It would be the kind of like dumb joke I would make.
Like, here, the way you're saying it, your delivery of those lines, it's like Dennis Miller. It's like, what's.
Yeah, strap them on there, kids. So, yeah.
Strap the thing on their back.
Yeah.
Cement galoshes.
Yeah. Every now and then, though, I just talk so fast. You're like, stop fucking Dennis Millering, man. Like, what? Slow the hell down. I have no idea what analogy you just made up. You said it too quickly.
No more similes. No more!
I think that's all I had, man.
Yeah, me too.
Seriously, somebody get back us about that Queen's Gambit. We want to know.
Yeah. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out. Subscribe. Whoa.
Subscribe to the things.
And that was my weekly stroke. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We're over on iTunes. Why am I saying that again?
We're over on iStitcher and the Google Tunes and the Play Apples.
I've become a paraplegic antelope on the Serengeti Plain. Right.
You can do it, man. Twitter and Facebook. Final stretch. As well. Just a few more words and you're out.
Proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, giantsizeteamup.com, Batman Podcast Network. Go check us out over there as well if you want to. I mean, you really only have to go to one place, dconscreen.com on the whole. We'll have to give you options. We're going to be coming back. You'll probably hear from us Tuesday morning, I would surmise.
About the news.
With our news episodes. The news episodes, which are now two episodes, a DCEU and a DCTV. So until next time, guys, keep some DC on your screen.